Does everything look great on the outside, but you feel like life is falling apart on the inside? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Sarah Neupel, who had everything great in her life, but was falling apart with depression.
I think it's very easy for us to look at someone, their situation, what they have, how they look, and judge or misjudge and say, well, that person has it together. Their life is so easy. They don't know what I'm going through. Mm. A lot of times we can look at people in that situation or even look on social media and say, wow, they just must be so happy. But over and over, I've met people who have been going through very hard times, but on the outside, everything looks perfect.
I think sometimes looking at other people and thinking that, I mean, first of all, if you're unhappy, you're going to get more unhappy thinking that other people are happy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the remedy to that? Because so many times, and I think we have a culture of that, is we don't really tell the truth. What do I mean? Someone says, how are you doing? And you're like, well, I'm fine.
Mm.
But you're not fine.
Right.
There's something deeply wrong.
Right.
But we don't know who to turn to. Like, you're just going to tell somebody, like, well, I'm feeling, I don't know, I don't feel right on the inside. And that person will maybe walk away.
And you know? Feel like you can't even tell someone or trust someone with what you're going through on the inside.
Mm. And so we all need a place to turn to when we get to that point in our life.
Right.
When we feel like things are falling apart on the inside, we have somebody who can actually take care of it. And mm-hmm. that is Jesus Christ. When I met Jesus Christ, he put everything on the inside back together mm. in my heart.
Yeah.
He's the only one who truly understood the problems that I had. There was not a friend, not anyone who could really solve that problem except it be Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I think that ultimately when we go through things in life, we can say, well, no one understands me. No one knows what I'm going through. But God does know what you're going through. Jesus was perfect, but went through so many things, even temptations. And yet he understands the struggles that we go through. So when you call out to him and you say, God, help me to go through this time in my life, he will give you the answers. He'll give you hope. He'll give you help. And there are friends, godly people who are there to stand by you, to encourage you, even in your tough times. So just know you're not alone. God has a plan and a purpose for it. Let's hear from Sarah after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Pearl Walk Restaurant and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. For the best Chinese food in Colorado, check out Pearl Walk on 120th Avenue in Broomfield. Sample their famous sesame chicken, or bring a group to dine on one of their special gourmet meals. Make plans now to visit Pearl Walk Restaurant, located in the Broomfield Plaza Shopping Center just east of Sheridan on 120th. Or call them at 303-465-3755. That's 303-465-3755.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult,
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenation.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Sarah Neupel, and she's going to share with us how at 19 years old, she went through severe depression. At 23, she had a nervous breakdown and had some really hard problems that brought her to mental hospitals. She was in and out of mental hospitals, and she's going to share with us how God supernaturally set her free. So let's welcome to the show, Sarah. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I understand you were raised in a pretty nice home, actually. You had good parents and things seemed to go well, and you were even taught about the Lord. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, Kathleen, and that's correct. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were very loving. We came from a family of four, so I had three brothers. And myself, that caused me also to be a very strong woman because I had to take care of my brothers and be tough for them and all those things. But yeah, my parents just, like I said, super loving, very supportive home. you would think that a girl like me would never go through something like what I did. Mm-hmm. It can happen to anyone. But yes, I was very thankful for the home I was brought up in.
Yes, and I understand that as you started getting a little older, you were a dancer, cheerleader, you're always, you know, in the limelight, and things started to happen as we all grow and get hormones. You had acne, but you just felt like this low self-worth, and you also felt pressure to be perfect. What would cause you to feel that way?
Yes, I did. And I think a lot of it is when you are so involved, like you said, in the limelight and, you know, dancing and cheering and always on kind of the stage. And then to top that off, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, he was also very much like, he was like the best basketball player. We were from a small town. And so we just always felt this pressure to, like, you know, oh, there's Ryan and Sarah, like, you know, there they are. It was just us. It was our life. But deep inside, I had this really horrible sense of who I was. Mm. And a lot of it stemmed from acne, and I wasn't able to control it. It was kind of a genetic thing, like my whole family had it, and medication after medication, and tried so hard to pray through it. Because I know deep inside that beauty's within. I know that. And I've always known that. And that was what I was taught. But for some reason, that's how Satan got a hold of me.
Mm.
And that's what he used to bring me down. That was it.
And so in college, you would cry, you'd look in the mirror and see this acne and feel so ugly, you'd feel so awful.
Oh, yeah.
And at 21 years old, you started to take medication. Tell me about that.
Yes, college was pretty rough. Like I said, if I didn't have Ryan, I don't know where I'd be today. We went to the same school, and he really supported me. We got married in college. And then after that, when I came back from college, because, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind of craziness there. Yeah. And when I came back home that summer, I knew I was depressed because I did not want to go outside. I remember I needed help was when he said to me, Sarah, come to the softball game. You know, you can meet my work buddies. I was scared to death. I had anxiety about seeing anyone. It got to the point so badly that I wouldn't even want to go over to his parents' house. And they lived two blocks away. So I just decided, I have to go see someone. I have to get this taken care of. This isn't right. My mom helped me along the way too. So I started taking Paxil, which is a common drug for depression. And then I started feeling better, which is very common. But then what happened after that was I went off at cold turkey, which now in hindsight, I know I'm never supposed to do. Mm. And so that just sent me into a spiral of the nervous breakdown, which was probably the scariest moment of my life.
Wow. So you were only 23 years old, and it was the darkest, hardest time in your life, and you were confused, you dealt with delusions, and you were placed into a mental hospital, which is a lot of people's fear. I know for me, because I struggled with depression, one of my biggest fears was going into a mental hospital.
Of course.
And so what happened to you when you were there? What were you going through? Did you feel like God hated you or that you messed up? What kind of thoughts and feelings were you going through?
Right. Such a huge question, right? It's very interesting because even though I was having the psychotic break, is what they called it, I still remember it. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm from Illinois, and it actually happened in Minnesota. We were visiting a friend. And so it didn't even happen in my hometown where my parents were 20 minutes away. No, it happened 8 hours away in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So to make the story even worse, I was up the whole night. I remember yelling at my friend I was with. We're on a vacation. And I was like yelling at her and telling her that she loved my husband, just going crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep. I was having that whole, like, not able to sleep, the manic part of it. And then I remember vividly just like walking outside in the snow and just standing there. Or I would like run and walk into somebody's house. I mean, anybody that's ever experienced something like that, like maybe they can relate. It can happen to anyone. I grew up a very normal child. I just couldn't handle it. My brain was like, whoa, we've got to do something about this. You're off your rocker. This is not good. But there's also such a stigma about it. And it's like, that's why I want to teach people that a lot of people go through this stuff. So basically, it was a very extreme situation. I was trying to jump out of a car. I was trying to get out of the sunroof on the way to the mental hospital. I remember this.
Wow.
And then the last thing I remember was me walking into the hospital, running to the back room. I was putting on powder. I seriously remember this, probably to cover up my zits or something. And that's it. And then I blacked out. So I'm sure they gave me a tranquilizer. You know, I'm sure they did things they needed to get me to calm down.
Right.
So this was at Hospital One. This was in Minnesota. I do remember them asking me a lot about my life. I remember stating to them false things, like my parents abused me, my brother weren't nice to me, like all these are just fabrications of me not thinking correctly.
Right.
So I went through all of that at that hospital. I was finally transferred. Once I got on some decent medication, which made me very stagnant, no motion. And then I went to Peoria and they got me on new medication. I was in the hospital again for another week. But then I had a doctor that I did not prefer. He labeled me as schizophrenic. So he labeled me as that. My parents were like, she's not that. That, like, she doesn't have those symptoms. My mom's a counselor. She works with mental health patients.
Isn't it amazing too, Sarah, how a lot of people get diagnosed with things so easily? I mean, yeah. I remember going into a doctor's office once and I had seen the guy one time and he said, you're bipolar. And I'm like, I just met this guy one time.
Yes.
And so quickly, without even knowing the life, I mean, people go through things, hard situations, and they're completely labeled by one person. And how did those labels affect you? Because as you went, you were being, you know, diagnosed with bipolar and schizophrenic. And meanwhile, your emotions and hormones were going up and down, and you were just really dealing with a lot of depression.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I think those labels for me, having my mom then in the health field, the mental health field, it's like I knew, and it's like it made me even more depressed because I was like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get better. Like, I have this genetic disorder. I'm never going to get better. So I still felt that sense of hopelessness.
Wow. But there is hope.
There is hope.
There is
yes.
hope because you did get better. And there are people listening now who are like, oh my gosh, she went through this horrible thing. And some people, they go through things alone, but they don't have to. Some people listening say, oh my gosh, I feel these things and I don't want anyone to know because they're going to think I'm crazy. But it's good to tell someone and it's good to get prayer and it's good to get help. And we're going to find out on our next show how God healed you and how others can have hope to be healed from these things too. So thank you for being with us and we're going to pray for our guests.
Amen.
Well, Father God, we just thank you so much, first of all, for your power, your grace, and how much the Bible talks about mental health. Lord God, we just know that there's someone right now who's listening and they're struggling with mental health. And it's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just like when you get physical health being broken down, like you get injured. Same thing with mental health. There's times, there's events that happen that can give us an injury when it comes to our mind. But God has the power to transform our minds and to renew them to bring them more like Him. Jesus, I'm praying right now by your power, for your miraculous power, for just a newness and a transforming of one's mind right now coming upon us. But most of all, Lord Jesus, we receive you knowing that we can have the mind of Christ and by your power. And I'm so excited to hear more on Sarah Neupel's story on the next show.
Amen. God loves you so much. And if you're listening to this, He's speaking right to your heart. Call out to Jesus. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.